It is time once again for Robert's Rules here on 97.9 The Hill. I'm News Director Brighton McConnell, and joining me in the studio is North Carolina Minority House Leader and District 54 Representative Robert Reeves, who joins us every couple of weeks to chat about some of the top news stories happening in North Carolina and the state government. Representative Reeves, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Doing good. How you doing?
I am doing quite well. First off, I want to congratulate you on filing for re-election. I know that there's a long election cycle ahead in 2024. I feel like that makes sense to start. We've been certainly covering and following everybody who's followed in Orange and Chatham County so far. I want to start here. What compelled you to run for office once again?
We've still got a lot of unfinished business. We've got things that I'd really want to see to fruition, obviously to the point that I can. A lot of economic development, a lot of economic development that is following the general economic development. I actually was speaking with a friend of mine this morning, and they've already gotten an offer for an internship in Japan through WillSpeed. WillSpeed's been going out to the local schools and giving people a chance. So, I mean, it's a pretty exciting time, and I want to be a part of that.
There's no doubt about it, and an exciting time for Chatham County, too. And you're just not just WillSpeed, but tons of growth that's expected to happen in there. And it's this place where we're seeing so much boom happening, too.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. And I think the thing that excites me most about what we've done in Chatham County is I've gotten a chance to kind of be there start to finish in the sense of, we're a rural county, and I don't think that you had the focus on rural counties that you could have throughout North Carolina. And I think we were one of the first that you got to see really take advantage of what to do. It was a lot of good planned growth by a lot of great decision makers. I've had a great opportunity to work with the elected officials in Chatham County to get some of this done, starting with our county commissioners who had to make a lot of tough calls early on, local businessmen who have just been amazing. The private investment has been incredible. And working with our town commissioners and those folk. And it's just really, this to me is an example of one, what government ought to look like, number one. And number two, an example of what happens when you put politics and everything else aside and just work for the betterment of people.
Turning from there to a press release that your office just sent out this morning as well, you are specifically talking about the oversight of no-bid contracts that the state government is putting out. I imagine that's some of the unfinished business that you mentioned there. What in particular has got you interested in trying to make sure that there's a little bit more, you know, just eyes on contracts that the state government is being put out? What caught your attention and what led you to, you know, push this call for oversight?
Well, it's been an ongoing problem. One of the huge problems that you've seen with the budget since the time that I've been there, and it's been 10 years now, is that the budget gets written up. A couple of folks are really responsible for writing it as far as legislators go. Obviously, you know, a lot of staff's involved. And then we pop out with a document. It's 650 pages long at a minimum. And then you spend the rest of the session trying to figure out what actually was in there. And one of the problems that you see are these no-bid contracts. And with a no-bid contract, you've got no opportunity to really be a good steward of the state's dollars because you're not trying to get the most competitive bid. You're not trying to get the best quality work. It's just, you know, for whatever reason, we're choosing certain people. And I know what it looks like, and I know what it feels like, and I know it sometimes what it has actually been. And it's been, you know, friends of the right people in the right places, getting opportunities with the state. Because one of the things I think that you don't think of as a voter or as a constituent is the role that state government plays in private business. I can't think of really many private businesses ever that have become large multi-billion dollar companies without some type of state intervention, whether it be state intervention through the form of bills that change rules and change laws to make their climate a little better for them to compete, or something as simple as state contracts.
Yeah.
In a $30 billion budget, people don't look at $1 million contract or $2 million contract. But if you're somebody like me that's had a small business, $1 million or $2 million contract is literally life changing. So we need to have more oversight of that and to make sure that we're being good stewards.
Do you have any examples that jump out to you as perhaps problematic no bid contracts that have been given out? And based on this, you know, I know it's early and this would probably need discussion across the board, but what are you hoping for when it comes to oversight? What form might that take?
To answer your first question, casinos. This is exactly what we were doing with the casino bid that we've been talking about several times through this radio show. we were saying that we thought casinos could solve a problem, which I still disagree with, but we say, okay, it can solve a problem, but we're not going to offer any bids. So we're not going to offer bids to all of the major players that everybody knows about that have got places all across the state that have shown how to do it. We're going to give it to this company because this company happens to be owned by a friend of mine. And so this person was going to get to squeeze out the Cherokee, squeeze out the Catawba, squeeze out Caesars and all these different places. Obviously, you can't get the best product there. So that's a perfect example of what the problem is with a no-bid contract. What I hope is the oversight puts more eyes on it to at least make people ask questions and have to answer questions. So when you say, well, I want my friend, you know, Reed Cordish to be able to have all the casinos in North Carolina, somebody can ask the question, explain to me how this is good for the constituents that I'll be serving. What is it that his company offers that other companies aren't offering? What is it that made you focus in on these folk, even though we have all these other companies who seem to be offering a comparable or better product? And I think that the more eyes you have on something, the better chance that you've got of getting a good product.
We're speaking with Representative Robert Reeves here on Robert's Rules. I think that's a pretty good pitch, but what would it take in your mind talking with Republican colleagues? What's going to be your pitch to them in terms of, you know, they're the ones who hold control right now over the General Assembly and over the House. So what would you say to them? Here's why you need oversight, even though it is Republican lawmakers who are making that call. What do you plan on bringing up with them?
Well, what I bring up to them is a replay of everything that they talked about up till 2008, 2009. Transparency, transparency, transparency. If you're serious about transparency, this is an easy call. If you're not serious about transparency, that's a right that you have, just as they talked to us about gerrymandering and everything else, say, you know, we do it because we can. Then they've got the right to say, we don't believe that needs to be transparent. You know, and as you see that there has been a problem with transparency with our General Assembly lately, and that we put in the budget that, you know, no more public records and things of that sort. But I would like to think that most of the folks I know that are coming back would really be serious and intentional about making sure that voters know what's going on in that building, know what's going on with their money, because again, what we've got to remember, not $1 of that $30 billion is ours to spend. We are merely stewards. We are merely managers. You know, we are people that have been entrusted with that money because the belief is that a government functions best whenever elected officials who represent the people are investing that money in areas that benefit people and that get more bang for the buck.
Well, you mentioned being a small business owner yourself. What also jumps out to me is with this idea of some more oversight, it just makes sure that there is competition, right? And
right.
Competition, of course, means that somebody will be losing out, but it also means the chance for North Carolina businesses, small businesses, to try and get into the game instead of necessarily looking to just one person or looking to somebody even out of state when it comes to these no-bid contracts.
Right, exactly. I mean, and what you want is competition. I mean, we get the best product because of competition. Everything that we can think of that's great in this country, when it comes down to private business, happened because somebody wanted to build a better widget. And if you get to a point where you've got it all, I mean, for instance, I was laughing with one of my friends, and we had an example come up with government that I won't talk about on the air. And I said it would literally be the same as if I could decide what lawyers could come into town. And I'm like, you know what? You can come into town. You can't come into town. Oh, I want to hire that lawyer, so I'm going to keep that lawyer. Then why would I ever have an incentive to be better at what I do? But if there's always somebody out there who is trying harder, working harder, trying to build a name, trying to build a business, that's what keeps you moving forward. And that's what keeps us moving forward. And that's what makes us the greatest country to live in this world, as opposed to a lot of the other countries where there is no competition, you know, where things are kind of set out and they become stagnant.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned moving forward there. One of the other top stories, I think it's fair to say, from the state in the last couple of days was the announcement of a $1 billion plus grant from the federal government to North Carolina and to Virginia to build a Raleigh to Richmond rail line. And I know that isn't necessarily going to go through Chatham County or our immediate community here, but that seems like a pretty big deal for North Carolina, building that connection. And it seems to also build upon this kind of renewed interest in rail that we've been seeing recently. Of course, we've had plenty of conversations here in Orange County about light rail. Hillsborough's got a train station coming to fit on that to try and get Amtrak business to. Just what are your thoughts not only on that $1 billion grant and that rail line from Raleigh to Richmond that they're hoping to put together, but also just the renewed interest in rail?
Well, I thought it was amazing. It was wonderful, and actually is going to benefit Chatham County because once we finish up, if you know the area of Chatham Park, 540 is going to run down to Chatham Park. So by the time that gets finished up, that part of the Beltline will actually be closer to that rail line than probably a lot of people in northern Wake County. And that benefits us because the more people you can get off the road, the better off everybody is. And that's what's so fascinating about rail. For instance, I've got a couple of my legislators who take the Charlotte to Raleigh line. And what's great for them is they're able to continue to work because especially now after COVID, you know, we know how to work remotely. So they work for 2 hours coming up, then they get where they're going, and then they work for 2 hours going back home. They're saving time, saving gas, saving wear and tear on their cars. They're obviously saving the environment. And so that, I mean, there's nothing but benefit coming the more mass transit that we've got. And so to be able to get from Raleigh to Richmond, again, just even shortens that distance and makes many more things available to us that wouldn't have been available before. So it's an outstanding opportunity, and I'm a huge fan of rail. And obviously we'd love to see some light rail be able to pop out there too, but huge fan of rail and a huge fan of what NCRR has been doing here locally.
Well, I was going to say along those lines, I've heard that you recently met with NCRR. You know, how did those meetings go, and what is their kind of vision for the future of North Carolina and rail?
Well, one, they were educational. It was actually a little shocking how much I didn't know about how rail operates, about how NCRR operates. It's, I think, the only private-public partnership that we have of its type that exists here, and it exists by statute. It's been here since the 1800s. And what's really cool about it is their vision is the same. Is they want as much connectivity as possible. They want to do it in the most efficient ways. And what another thing that I didn't really realize that they work on is rural economic development, which is actually pretty amazing. So whenever the state's going after the big fish like Wolfspeed, like VinFast, and people like that, NCRR is able to go into smaller rural areas and actually help with investment there and help with getting companies there, helping connect those companies to the different areas they need to be in. And that's just going to help us grow because 80% of North Carolina is rural. And we really need to focus on trying to build those areas up because they deserve the same attention that we're giving to our urban areas, and they also deserve the same opportunity that all the rest of us want. We want our kids to have the option to come back. Kids might not come back, but you at least want them to have the option to come back. And that's why you really want to develop these areas in the way that you can. In fact, I would use Golston as an example where I live, because one of the things that we talk about all the time with the mayor, who's fabulous, is trying to get good development there. You know, so Golston's a small town, 225 people, so you don't want to, you know, it's not the kind of place where you want to all of a sudden end up with tons of traffic and all that kind of thing. But on the flip side, you want a good tax base that helps continue to grow the community. I mean, his number one thing has been, I want a nice park. And that really means something to folks because that's where a lot of us gather. You know, we go up there to play baseball, basketball, all that kind of thing. Got the only pickleball court in the area.
Hey, so. I bet that is quite popular then.
Yeah. And so, to give these areas those opportunities is great, and to have a business like NCRR concentrating on giving those opportunities was something I didn't know we had, and it's a great resource.
Well, to me, that sounds a little bit more like that unfinished business that you mentioned at the top of the conversation. So
absolutely.
I imagine we're going to continue talking about that in many future Robert's Rules segments to come. I'm afraid we've got to wrap up today, but Representative Robert Reeves, as always, thank you so much for stopping in and bringing us these updates.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.